Welcome to the National Civic Council's podcast, A Stronger Australia. The National Civic Council has advocated for the Australian people since its founding by Bob Santa Maria in the early 1940s. Today, it advocates for an economically and culturally strong Australia, which protects the vulnerable and supports the family as the cornerstone of society. During our podcast, we hear from a wide variety of speakers and experts on how to create a better Australia. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the NCC and Newsweekly podcast. I'm Peter Kelleher, editor of Newsweekly. Newsweekly is available in print and online at www.newsweekly.com.au. Today I'm here in the NCC Newsweekly studio with former National President of the NCC and Senior Advisory Council member, Pat Byrne. Welcome, Pat.
Welcome, Peter.
Pat, we have just published in Newsweekly the first part of a series that you are writing called The Defence of Australia. This first part itself is entitled Building Australia's Strategic Industries, and in it you refer to a remarkable development in the United States. You say that the US government has recently announced monumental plans to rebuild American industries, invest heavily in its allies, and virtually build a new form of the Western Alliance.
After a decade of wrestling with Beijing's growing belligerence following the rise to power of President Xi Jinping, and after Putin's attack on Ukraine last year, the US is finally coming to grips with the need to mobilise a colossal domestic and international program on the scale not seen since its post-World War II global rebuild. Today's strategic challenges are comparable to those that the democratic world faced after World War II. Indeed, the lessons learned 80 years ago have become a guide to what is needed today.
What are the elements of this plan?
The plan is huge. It's breathtaking. It's a global revolution in economics, trade, and technology. First, it involves the US spending $3.5 trillion for building strategic industries, and it has a broad bipartisan support. Whereas the Marshall Plan rebuilt war-torn Europe, the US now plans to massively rebuild and expand its own strategic industries and invest trillions in the project. Second, it plans to mobilise trillions more dollars into emerging economies because the US cannot produce and do this alone, so it's mobilising capital for their industries and technological development as part of a global plan to de-risk from Beijing while still trading and cooperating with that totalitarian state. Third, it involves revitalising those institutions created by the 1944 Bretton Woods Agreement, that is the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, which is now called the World Trade Organization. These global institutions help to rebuild the post-World War II global economy, while preferential trade agreements tied together the Western alliance against Soviet communism. Today, the challenge is to tie together a worldwide alliance of democracies to resist Beijing, and Australia needs to shoulder its responsibilities. Hence, the NCC has called for our government to double its domestic manufacturing sector by 2035, to set clear investment targets, to declare priority strategic industries, and announce a new economic policy framework. This is very important, a new economic policy framework for building these industries.
Has Australia realised the scope of what the US is planning?
Not yet. The only journalist really dealing with it has been Paul Kelly in The Australian. And as he points out, the Albanese government seems not to have grasped what's happening as yet, with ministers either misinterpreting the plan or not comprehending the global shift underway.
So what do our political leaders need to grasp about this global plan?
It's going to require a major rethink of our economic, industry, defence and technology policies. So let me go through a few points. First, there is the gravity of Australia's dependence on highly vulnerable global supply chains in the face of Beijing's growing influence in the Indo-Pacific region. To test Australia's economic and civil resilience in the event of a conflict that cuts those supply chains, in 2019, there was a defence preparedness exercise that brought together 17 senior engineers from Australia's key industry sectors, including healthcare, electricity, fuel, water, mining, and telecommunications. The opening statement of that report said that Australia is largely a de-industrialised, multicultural nation with highly vulnerable supply chains. Nothing surprising there to anyone who reads News Weekly. It laid out a chilling timeline of how Australian essential services would face collapse in a domino effect within just 3 months, given our dependence on imported medicines, computer chips, chemicals for purifying water and treating waste, and many other products. Essential services including electricity, telecommunications would fall apart because these sectors rely on imported spare parts, leaving the country then, without those parts, racked by social unrest and widespread unemployment. Australia's manufacturing sector is down to 6% of the economy. That's 6% of gross domestic product, which is below that even of Greece at 8%, and well below Turkey, 18%, the USA, 11%, Germany, 20%, and Japan, 21%. Moreover, China has become Australia's largest trading partner. It's the biggest supplier of our imports and the biggest buyer of our exports. Second, recently, US National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan stated that the US goal is a mammoth industrial policy for expanding American capacity and resilience. Quote, "This explicitly rejects the former consensus, the primacy of the free market, free trade, and the interdependent globalized order. This sweeps away over 40 years of US engagement with China based on mutual economic interest for a new epoch where national security will prevail over economics. In other words, the world of radical free trade and deep globalization is gone. To quote Paul Kelly of The Australian, it is dying on the funeral pyre of intensifying US-China rivalry." So Australia's future survival now depends on government involvement to create a predominantly manufacturing economy at whatever the cost. Relying on the markets alone won't build new defence industries or strategic industries necessary to keep the economy functioning in the event of a conflict. Nowhere in the world has manufacturing just happened. It only happens when a national government says the nation is going to build new industries with government help and significant direction. Now, thirdly, Australia must shake off its long-held complacency that we only have to make minimal defence efforts because we can rely on the US to carry most of our defence burden. No, today this country must pull its weight in the newly forming global strategic rebuild.
What does Australia have to do to fit into this new global order, which will be more akin to the post-World War II Western alliance than to the world of globalisation and free trade?
Just as the US has announced massive investment to rebuild its industries and infrastructure, the Australian government needs to announce that this country intends to double its manufacturing sector to 12% of the economy by 2035. With investment of $600 billion to $1 trillion, coming from a combination of government investment, a strategic industries and infrastructure development bank, and private equity. This major investment objective is necessary so that industry can plan, invest, and operate with long-term confidence. It's fundamental to jumpstarting the massive building of strategic industries. Now, while $600 billion to $1,000 billion may sound enormous and beyond our investment capability, it's important to realise that it is comparable to what Washington plans to invest, given the relative size of our economy, so comparing it with the US, and the fact that our manufacturing sector today is half that of America in relative terms. If we're going to shoulder our responsibilities in the world, this is what we need to invest.
What is the objective of such a massive investment plan?
The objective is in several parts, and it's mainly to protect Australia's sovereignty. One, a strong defence capability to deter any distant aggressor before they can reach Australian shores. The first job of a national government is to defend the country from strategic threats and ensure economic resilience in the event of a major conflict. Two, a strong national industry base capable of withstanding global economic shocks, denial of major trading routes, and denial of critical imports and important exports. Australia may not be able to diversify its exports and minerals of coal and other minerals, but it can build and diversify its domestic industries and reduce its reliance on global supply chains. Three, a much more diverse and stronger domestic manufacturing industry base that can restore a balanced economy to create new employment opportunities. Manufacturing diversity, or they call it complexity, is important for innovation and productivity growth and to building a higher level of self-sufficiency. And it would create another 1 to 2 million well-paid jobs. For a strong industry base that is majority domestically owned and sufficiently encouraged or protected, or else, given the lessons of the last 50 years, industries will either shift offshore or face takeover by large multinationals and then either be moved overseas or closed down and their products imported. So, overcoming strategic threats requires a significant new restructuring and rebalancing of the Australian economy and new defence arrangements.
Thanks, Pat. Read, learn, be informed and enjoy. Newsweekly is available in print and online at www.newsweekly.com.au.
Thank you for listening to the National Civic Council's podcast, A Stronger Australia. The National Civic Council is a non-party political movement which seeks to build a strong and prosperous nation. Through our policy, research and advocacy, we stand up against the greatest threats to the family and the Australian way of life. The NCC also produces the fortnightly magazine Newsweekly, which covers all topics relating to a stronger Australia. Subscribe at ncc.org.au/newsweekly. We look forward to joining you for our next episode. Thank you for listening.